Tonight we'd like to turn to the book of Job, chapter 42. Book of Job, chapter 42. I'd like to read the first six verses. Job 42, verses 1 through verse 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Beginning with chapter 38 through verse 6 of chapter 42, we see that God and Job are in a conversation with one another. God entered this conversation with Job as a result of Job questioning God's government of the world, God's government of Job's circumstances. And the conversation opens with God telling Job to brace himself for the questions that he was about to ask. Notice back in chapter 38, verse 3, the Lord says to Job, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So Job complained about God's government, and God says, okay, Job, get ready. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I demand that you answer these questions. And then there's a series of questions and statements about creation, about oceanography, meteorology, astronomy. And God challenged Job's in asking these questions, questions that Job couldn't answer, making statements that Job in no way could understand. God was challenging Job's competence to judge him. He was basically saying to Job, who are you to question my government? Who are you to question why I do what I do or what I do? Who are you to question? And you can read that on your own time sometime, Job 38 through our text. There's some very interesting statements made by God, and in those statements God revealed that he is infinite, and he also revealed that man, Job included, is finite. God, in Job chapter 40 and verse 2, God insisted that Job answer him. He says, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Verse 7, he says, gird up thy loins again, now like a man, I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. And we read of Job's first response there in verses 3 through 5 of chapter 40, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. This is in response to what God had said in chapters 38 and 39. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. In other words, Job said, I shouldn't have said anything, and I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to say any more. But then God again challenged Job there in verse 7, and he said, I demand of thee, answer my questions concerning God's government of the world. You see, Job realized at this point his own insignificance, and he humbly submitted to God. And then God again says, get ready. There's more. I have more questions. I have more statements to make. And then from that point through chapter 42, God impresses upon Job Job's own puniness and God's majestic person. In Job's first response, he admitted his own insignificance. But in Job's second response, there in verse 2 of chapter 42, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He realizes God's sovereignty. Two great truths that people need to realize, two foundational truths: man's insignificance and God's sovereignty. Job is brought to see both of these things. He again states his own insignificance in verse 6. He says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We want to look tonight at the part of his response that is recorded there in verse 5. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. That is, Lord, I wasn't an eyewitness to creation, but I heard of thee. But you've gotten my attention. And he says, he goes on to say, I have seen, but now mine eye seeth thee. He's gone beyond. He's gone beyond just hearing. He's now seen. All as a result of the statements and the questions that God had asked Job. So Job has now gone past just knowledge. He sees. He sees God. And we want to speak tonight on the subject of the eye of faith. But now mine eye seeth thee. The eye of faith. What we can see by faith. Faith is often in the Bible compared to seeing. Concerning Abraham, Jesus, well, let's turn there, the book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Jesus Christ said that Abraham saw the very day of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus in John chapter 8 is speaking to those Jews who possess what we will call an intellectual faith. They were lost. They were unsaved. They did not know the Lord. But they had an intellectual faith. And I want to show you here in John chapter 8 the difference between an intellectual faith and what Abraham saw by faith. An intellectual faith will not save your soul. The only faith that will save your soul is the faith that sees. Now notice in verse 37, John chapter 8, or I'm sorry, verse 30. John 8, verse 30. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Immediately people think, oh, that's wonderful, they were saved. But as you read on through the chapter, you find out that's not the case at all. Because in verse 44, he said, talking to these who believed, he said, ye are of your father the devil. They're not saved.
He says, ye are, it's not ye were, ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Speaking to those in verse 30 who believed. So those in verse 30 only had an intellectual faith. And as you go down through John chapter 8, you see that these who possessed this intellectual faith, they became offended at the teaching of Jesus Christ. You ever wonder why someone who professes to be saved would dare be offended at the very teaching of Jesus Christ? It's because they have the same kind of faith that these individuals had. They had an intellectual faith, which is nothing. Does not save your soul. They were offended at the teaching of Christ. We see that these who possessed this intellectual faith were really opposed to the teaching of Christ. And how many times you have tried to talk to somebody who professes to be saved, and when you get right down to it, they're just in opposition to what God says. It's because they have an intellectual faith. They not only were opposed, they were angered by the teaching of Christ. Verse 48, notice beginning with verse 48, read through verse 52, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? These are the very ones who believed. Now they're accusing Christ of having a devil because of what he was teaching. They were angered by the teaching of Christ. Verse 40, 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keepeth my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Now we know. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. So these Jews, with their intellectual faith, were actually so angered with Christ that they accused him of having a devil, which is the same as accusing someone of being demon-possessed. That's how angry they were at the teaching of Christ. This isn't saving faith. This is an intellectual faith. These Jews, with their intellectual faith, they did not appreciate the greatness of Jesus Christ, verse 53. They said, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? In other words, you think you're greater than Abraham? They couldn't see the greatness of Christ. It's not that they didn't believe that he was the Christ, because it says in verse 30 they did believe. But all they had was an intellectual faith. They had no joy of heart. Verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They weren't rejoicing. But there was a difference between Abraham and what these people had. Abraham saw. These people didn't see. All they had was an intellectual faith. We see in verse 57, they had no understanding of Christ's teaching. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They didn't understand the thing that Jesus was saying, because all they had was an intellectual faith. Now realize that God brings people to truths at different times, and God's going to show some people truths that he doesn't show others. I realize that. But every child of God should have some understanding of spiritual truth. Anybody who has saving faith has some understanding of what the Lord teaches. But those who just possess an intellectual faith, they struggle all the time with understanding the very
simple teachings of Jesus Christ. Because all they have is this intellectual faith. This intellectual faith, they had an actual hatred for the deity of Christ. Jesus taught that he was God. He said, before Abraham was, I am, verse 58. And then in verse 59, then, very same ones who believed in verse 30, then took they up stones to cast at him. They were going to kill Christ. This is an intellectual faith. We need to see the difference. We need to see the difference. An intellectual faith is like a believing that Jesus existed. He's a historical figure. But that won't save your soul. You can believe everything that the Bible says about Jesus Christ intellectually. You see, an intellectual faith does not change you. But we read there in verse 56, your father Abraham, he saw. That's faith. He saw. He saw the same thing that Job saw back there in Job chapter 42. And you see, what Abraham saw changed his life. What Abraham saw changed the way that Abraham lived. What Abraham saw changed Abraham's perspective. It changed the way that he saw everything, and it resulted in joy. It resulted in gladness. That is saving faith. That's what faith will do. An intellectual faith will not do that. So there is a huge difference between intellect and seeing. And Abraham saw. You see, a person can know all about Jesus Christ. You can study his person, and you can gather facts, and you can know about him. Just like you can know about any other historical figure. You can know all about him. But it doesn't mean that you know him. It doesn't mean that you know him. You can know all about Abraham Lincoln, but there isn't anybody here that knew Abraham Lincoln. And you can know all about Christ, but that doesn't mean that you know him. There's a difference between intellect and knowledge. There's a difference between intellectual faith and faith that actually sees. We read concerning Moses that in Hebrews 11, verse 27, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, has seen. He endured, has seen him who is invisible. It's not he endured by believing. He endured as seen. He actually saw the Lord. Just like Abraham actually saw the Lord. You see, faith is seen. Faith sees what no one else can see. Faith sees God. Faith, to see him is to know him. It's to know who he is. It's to know what he has done. To see him is to trust him. To see him is to believe him. To see him is to understand him. We need the eye of faith. We need to be able to see. We need to get beyond just an intellectual faith. We need to examine our faith. Do I have just an intellectual faith, or am I like Abraham? I have seen Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know the difference? Because this faith that sees changes you entirely. It makes a change in your life. It affects everything about your life. So I ask you tonight, can you see the Lord? Can you look through all the circumstances? Abraham looked forward and saw the day of Christ. You and I look backward and we see the day of Christ. Can you look through all of your circumstances with the eye of faith and see the Lord? Can you look through all the situations, all the troubles and all the trials and all the difficulties and all the sorrows? Can you look beyond all of those things and see the Lord? That is the eye of faith. Faith is seen, and it is a seeing that goes beyond what you and I can see with the human eye. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Though faith is seen, faith is not ordinary sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So there's a contrast between what faith sees and what our physical eye sees. Faith goes beyond what you and I can see with the natural eye. Faith is a perceiving. We perceive as fact that which is not revealed to us by nature, that which goes beyond our natural senses. Faith is able to see. The 10 spies, they walked by sight. And they said, "We're not able to go up." Joshua and Caleb, they walked by faith. And they said, "We are well able." Two groups of people that saw the same thing in the land of Canaan, in one sense, but in another sense saw something completely different. One had faith. One group had faith. One group had none. The 10 spies, they walked by sight. And they said concerning their enemies, "For they are stronger than we." And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "Their defense is departed from them." Two completely different perceptions. Saw the same group of people, describing the same group of people, but Joshua and Caleb saw something that the other 10 did not see, because they had an eye of faith. We see that the 10 spies brought up an evil report. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "It is an exceeding good land." It's a wonderful land. Describing the very same land. And you listen to two individuals, one who has no faith and one who has faith that sees, a saving faith, and listen to them describe the same circumstances. It's completely different. Because one sees what the other cannot see. The 10 spies, they said, "It is a land that eateth up its inhabitants." And Joshua and Caleb said, "They are bread for us. They are bread for us." Again, describing the same situation. The 10 spies said, "We are grasshoppers in their sight." Joshua and Caleb said, "The Lord is with us. Fear them not." What a difference there is between walking by sight and having the eye of faith. What a difference there is in our perspective. What a difference there is in the way we think. What a difference there is in the way we view things. What a difference there is in the decisions we make, in the way we conduct ourselves. All because of the eye of faith. Faith makes a difference. An intellectual faith will not necessarily make a difference. An intellectual faith will say, "Oh, I know God knows all about it, and I know God will supply," but at the same time, they fall all to pieces because they just know it appears. They just know it intellectually. But a faith that sees, actually sees God supplying the need, and is confident, and has assurance, and they conduct their life based upon that confidence and assurance. So faith is much like the eye. The human eye is remarkable.
Now, we know that the eye does not send out light from itself. The eye simply receives. It receives. It receives light from the objects it beholds. That's what faith does. Faith sees God. Faith does, just like your eye, when you look up at the moon tonight, or the stars, what you see does not add anything to those stars. You cannot add anything to their glory. So it is with faith. When we see God, we do not add anything to God. Our faith doesn't add anything to God, but our faith receives. Just like our eyes receive the image of what we see. So faith receives from God. That's what faith does. And you see, that's why those who have the eye of faith, they have strength. Because faith receives. And when we receive from God, we are strengthened. When we receive from God, we are encouraged. When we receive from God, we have assurance. Faith receives from God. And by receiving from God, we are changed. That's what faith does. Faith changes us. Faith may not change our circumstances, but faith will change us in the midst of our circumstances. And it changes us by what we see. Faith sees God. And by seeing God, we're changed. Again, the eye directs us by what we see. It keeps us from falling into the ditch. It keeps us from stumbling and falling. Faith does the same thing. Faith will keep you from falling in many a ditch. Faith will enable you to see the ditch when no one else can see the ditch. Faith will enable you to see the snare or the trap when no one else can even see it. Faith enables you to identify the ditches. And faith enables you to stay away from the ditches. Faith keeps you out of the ditches. The eye of faith is so, so very important. And then you think about the eye. Within a fraction of a second, we can turn our sight from things right here, and we can look up into the skies and see stars that are thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away. We can see something inches from our face, and within a fraction of a second, we can turn and see something miles and miles and miles away. That's remarkable. That's miraculous. Again, the eye is a marvel. It's a marvel of God. But faith, even more so. Because, again, in John 8, verse 56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. That's a lot of years off. And Abraham saw the day of Christ. What does that mean, that Abraham saw the day of Christ? I believe it means that Abraham saw, not with a physical eye, but with the eye of faith, Abraham saw the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He saw it by faith. He could look at whatever was going on in his life right then and there, and he could look away and see hundreds of years down the road and see the very birth of Jesus Christ. You and I, we can look at our circumstances today. We can see them clearly, we can turn away, we can turn back, and we can look back thousands of years. And with the eye of faith, we see the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now I believe that the incarnation of Christ is a historical fact. But it's more than a historical fact to the one who has faith. It's more. You see it. I mean, you can actually see it. You look back all those thousands of years and you see it. And the eye of faith can even look beyond that. The eye of faith can look at our present circumstances, and then it can look back in just a fraction of a second, can look back at creation. And I can go to Genesis 1 and I can see
I can see God creating. That's faith. We don't see it with the physical eye. We see it by faith. I can go even further back than that. I can go back before creation, and I can see God writing my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Faith can see those things. The eye of faith.
So faith, just like the human eye can look at something just inches away and then in a moment can look at and see something thousands and thousands of miles away, light years away. So faith, we can look at our circumstances and then just in a fraction of a second, I can go back and with the eye of faith, I can see that my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I need to do that many times because many times the devil will come and say, you're not saved. The eye of faith can go all the way back and see when he wrote my name down. The eye of faith is marvelous. When it says that Abraham saw the day of Christ, I believe he also saw the crucifixion. Or before that he saw the life that Christ lived upon the earth, the life of perfect right. I believe Abraham saw it. He saw it by faith. He saw Jesus Christ going to the cross by faith. Today I can look back with the eye of faith. And I can, though the cross is a historical fact, I can look back and I can see it. I'm not talking about visions. I'm talking about faith. The eye of faith can see Christ. Going to the cross. I can see him going to the cross with my sin. I can see him with my sin upon him. And I can see him laying down his life for my sin. The eye of faith can see that. We see by the eye of faith, Abraham, I believe, also saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw it by faith. Wasn't a dream? Wasn't a vision? He saw it by faith. And today I can look back and I can see by faith, though the resurrection is a historical fact, I can see by faith the resurrection. And what a difference it makes to believe historically in the resurrection or to believe it because you saw it. Because you do see it. Two completely different things. You can believe something because you read it. You can believe something because somebody told you, but if you see it, you have a different belief. And faith is seen. Faith is seen. We actually see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only did Abraham see the resurrection of Christ, he saw Christ ascending back into glory. And I can look back and I can see by the eye of faith Christ ascending, taking his place at the right hand of God for me. And I believe Abraham even saw Christ coming again. I believe that's what it means when it says that Abraham saw the day of Christ. And as he saw everything there was about Jesus Christ. And what did it do to Abraham? It caused him to rejoice. It caused him to be glad. It did something to him. You can have an intellectual faith and it does nothing. But this is a faith that sees. And it'll do something to you. So today, with the eye of faith, I can look back all the way before the foundation of the world and see the God the Father choosing the people. That same eye of faith in just a fraction of a moment can look all the way into the future and see Jesus Christ coming. And I can even look beyond that and see heaven. You can do that all with the eye of faith. Faith is a marvelous thing. Faith sees wonderful, wonderful things. And faith, this kind of faith, the faith that sees, is to be operative in all events, in all aspects of the human life. Faith, the Bible teaches very clearly, is active. Faith is not dormant. Faith is something that is very active. Paul again, he said, we walk by faith. That has to do with the entirety of our life. We walk by faith. In times of strength, in times of weakness, we need the eye of faith. We need to be able to see what Abraham saw. In times of joy and in times of sorrow, we need the eye of faith. In times of rest, in times of difficulty, we need the eye of faith. When we're healthy, when we're sick, we need the eye of faith. When we have an abundance or when we are destitute, we need the eye of faith. There isn't any time in our life that we do not need the eye of faith. We need to see what only faith can see. And when we can see with the eye of faith, it changes the way we see everything. You see, a child of God today doesn't look at the situation that we find ourselves in our country, in the world. We don't look at it the same way as those who have no faith. We don't look at it the same way as those who just have an intellectual faith. We look at it completely different. And though we may not be happy with what goes on, what I see with the eye of faith tells me it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Fear not. The eye of faith will change the way we think. The eye of faith will have a huge impact upon our decisions. People make decisions based upon what they see. Faith sees things and no one else can see. The eye of faith, in the presence of our enemies or in the presence of our friends, we need the eye of faith. When all is calm or when there is a raging storm, we need the eye of faith. When we're up on the mountaintop as high as we can get or as down in the valley as low as we can get, we need the eye of faith. We must have the eye of faith. And Job said, I have seen thee. I have seen thee. It was after he entered this conversation with God. He says, before that I had heard, but now I see. And oh, it's one thing to read the word of God and hear, and it's another thing to see it. And when we read God's word, we ought to be able to see. We ought to be able to see what is happening. We need the eye of faith when we read God's word. We need the eye of faith when we hear God's word. We need the eye of faith when we're praying. We're told in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, that we're not to waver when we pray, but we're to believe. In other words, we need to see. We need more than an intellectual faith when we pray. We need a faith that sees. When we, in our daily life, we need to have an eye of faith. When it comes time for you and I to exit this life, we need the eye of faith. We read there in Hebrews chapter 11, these all died in faith. What does that mean? I believe it means they all died seeing. They all died seeing. Seeing what? The invisible. They all died seeing what a wonderful way to die. What a wonderful way to leave this life. I've been with many, many, many folks that have left this life. Those who had faith, those who had none. And oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference between the two. I'll tell you this, if you do not have faith in life, you will not exit this life in faith. More than likely. I realize God can work a miracle. These all died in faith. When it comes time and we're struggling to breathe, we'll be able to see things. And I do believe That God gives dying grace, and I believe part of dying grace is people see things that you and I can't imagine. I believe that with all of my heart. That they see things that you and I cannot see. The eye of faith gives the dying courage, gives them strength. It enables them to be a comfort to those who have gathered around their bedside. The eye of faith. Oh, we need to pray that God would increase our faith. Because you see, living for the Lord really is in direct proportion to our faith. That we see that all through the Word of God. How much will we live for the Lord? Depends upon how much faith we have. I believe that. Our degree of dedication. How dedicated will we be? Well, it depends upon how much faith we have. It depends upon what we can see. Our nonconformity to the world. Our transforming. All dependent upon faith. The quality of our spiritual life depends much upon our degree of faith. Our obedience to God is in direct proportion to our faith. Our prayer life is dependent upon faith. Why, if you really believe that God has everything you need and that God will do, can do everything according to His will, and you believe that that God answers prayer, you're going to pray. If you believe that. Now, you can believe that intellectually, and it's not going to make a whole lot of difference in your prayer life. But if you have the eye of faith, you will pray. You will pray. Everything comes back to either believing or not believing. Our love for the Lord is in proportion to our faith. The more you can see Him, the more you love Him. Our enjoyment of the Lord is in proportion to our faith. The more you can see Him, the more you enjoy Him. You see, an intellectual faith can really make you quite miserable. A lot of people know just enough to be miserable. That's true. There's, you know, ignorance is bliss. There's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. But some people know just enough to be miserable. A lot of those who profess to be God's people, that's their situation. They know just enough to be miserable. But it's not real. It's just intellectual. But the eye of faith causes us to enjoy the Lord. It gives us peace. A peace that the world doesn't understand. A peace that many who profess to know the Lord do not understand. You try to tell some folks that the peace that you have in the midst of trial, and they look at you like, I don't understand a word you're saying. And that's the truth. They don't. Because all they have is an intellectual faith. But a faith that sees brings peace. A faith that sees brings assurance. And a faith that sees, we see it all through the Word of God, will enable you to endure. God's people throughout history have endured unbelievable trials. And at the end of the trial, they come out stronger than when they went in. That's faith. You see, they could see with the eye of faith, and what they can see gives them the strength, gives them the courage to endure, gives them the strength and the encourage to press on. The eye of faith.
When you feel like quitting, that's when you need to pray. Lord, increase my faith. Cause me to see. Cause me to see. And God will open up our faith. And we begin to behold things. And I can't quit. And you get more courage and more determination to go on. That's what the eye of faith will do. And Job is brought to a point in his life. He said, I've heard, but now I see. And then he said, I'm vile. You see, that's what it is. When you see who God is and you see who we are, there's only one conclusion that you come to. Behold, I'm vile. It wasn't a lost man speaking. That was a saved person. That was a righteous man. And he said, behold, I'm vile. The sinner today needs to see his own need, needs to see his own vileness, but at the same time, he needs to see the greatness of God. And what are the two of the main doctrines that are always attacked today? Sovereignty of God, total depravity of man. Those, man and God, those are the two parties of salvation. If you're wrong on either one, you're wrong on the whole subject. You can't be wrong on either one and possibly be right on salvation. These are truths that we must learn. And we only learn these truths by seeing. By the eye of faith, Job saw the greatness of God. And in seeing the greatness of God, he said, I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. And what does that do? That causes you to appreciate the blessings of God upon your life. That causes you to thank God for His mercy and His grace. It causes you to realize, I'm blessed of God. I'm nothing, and yet God has saved my soul. I'm nothing, I deserve nothing, and yet God has poured His blessings down upon me. How can you not be glad? How can you not rejoice? So all we need, that eye of faith. Examine your faith tonight. Do you have the eye of faith? Or do you have an intellectual faith? There's a big difference between the two. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.